Hello. Okay, so apparently one of the duties of being the pastor is any official meetings that we vote on, I have to make the announcement. So that's why I'm making this one. So the email went out. It's about the special meeting. So I'll just read what went out in the email. It says, "We will hold a special general meeting on Sunday, June 4th. At this meeting, we will vote on whether to make a significant donation to two community organizations. This donation represents 10% tithe on the capital gain and investment income from the sale of the Bernice Girard House. The tithe proposal is outlined in the attached. There's an attached report in the email. For additional information, you can reach out to the board at board@redemption or Maddie at maddie@redemption.ca. The special resolution on which members will vote is also attached to the email that went out. The meeting will be held immediately following the service and will last for approximately 1 hour. Coffee and snacks will be served. Everyone is welcome to attend, though only church members are eligible to vote. We need at least 40% of our members present in order to reach quorum. If you are a member, please confirm your attendance by responding to this email. If you're unable to attend and wish to fill out a proxy form, please contact Sarah at sarah@redemption.ca. We look forward to the meeting together on June 4th. So hopefully you can make it. Is that okay? Did I cover it? Okay. I officially call a meeting. Do I have to say something like that? So, yeah. I declare. So, this is actually really exciting to be able to give away a substantial chunk of money to some other organizations and bless them. So, I'm actually pretty excited about this. And thanks to the committee that has worked on this. They worked really hard. A few things, couple little other announcements is, we had like these nominations for unsung heroes, and so some letters went out, and we wanted to recognize, you know, some of the people that do stuff behind the scenes. Now, it's always complicated with people that are unsung heroes because they don't necessarily want recognition from the front, right? So I'm recognizing you anonymously. But thank you so much for those of you who do stuff behind the scenes. You are such a blessing. We're going to start up pre-service prayer again, starting next week, from 9:30 to around 10, and we'll be in this side room here. So if you're interested in that, please come out. And next week's Mother's Day, I was praying about this because, you know, there's a part of me that wanted to do like this really awesome Mother's Day message. But as I'm praying, I feel like we got to stay in this sort of stream of in Isaiah. So I'll be preaching on Isaiah 43, but who knows, maybe something will appear in the message as I'm preparing it. That's particularly for mothers. But we look forward to celebrating Mother's Day next week. And I just wanted to give a little shout out to the class yesterday. Monica started the class yesterday on leadership. It was really great. It was a great time. And I learned stuff, and it was great. So thanks for doing that, Monica. And it was recorded, so I don't. Yeah, so some people will be eventually be able to look at that. Okay. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Great. So we're in a series that is more of a topical series called Times of Refreshing, based out of Acts 3:19. But what we're gonna kind of focus on now in those times of refreshing is messages. Mostly in Isaiah, so we kind of got the messages set out for the rest of the month. And as you saw in the announcement, Bob Cumming will be on that same thing, which will be the conference at the end of the month. And as I preached a few weeks ago on the road to Emmaus, and as I, you know, when I feel like God shows me things, and as things unfold, it sort of things shift a little bit, and you ponder that. And that's the kind of sense I have. I feel like we're kind of on this road together. We're on this journey together, this kind of road to Emmaus, and we're journeying together, and we want to encounter Jesus. How will we encounter Jesus? What will that look like? I don't know, but we're on this journey in this time of change and season. And I usually think of that, we're on journey individually, so there's your own life, and then there's this journey of us together as a church. And that's exciting to me. You want to just turn that around for me? Karen, thank you so much. So we're going to be talking a little bit in Isaiah. I wanted to just briefly talk about prophetic literature. That's awesome. You guys are amazing. That's amazing. So, yeah. Wow, great job. Thank you so much. Okay, so if you look at this incredible chart. Oh, somebody added a drawing on the bottom there. Awesome. I love it. I wanted to look at sort of a little bit of a timeline of when we think about Scripture. And when we're particularly thinking about prophetic literature, so, you know, like Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, we got Daniel, there's a whole bunch of them. How does that look and how does that work? And I wish I could say it's like super simple, but it isn't always really that simple. So we've got four sections here. So you have like words that are written. So we're going to be, oh, you could have left. That was fine. I don't, it's distracting. Everybody's like, yeah. You have like words that are written and they could be for that immediate or close to that immediate time. So you have like maybe a prophet saying like the captivity in Babylon that happened during the Old Testament times. Then you may have prophecies in there. Number two, about Jesus, right? About the Messiah, right? The birth of the Messiah, the life of the Messiah. Then three, you could have the in-between time, right? So think of like in Acts chapter 2, quoting Joel, my spirit will be poured out on all sons and daughters. And then you have prophetic words about the return of Jesus or the second coming. And so when we look at scripture, prophetic literature, it can be one of, think of it multiple choice, right? Is it one, two, three, or four? Or is it one and two? Or one and four? Or is it all of the above? You ever had one of those tests where you get like all these choices? So that's where it can get tricky because it can be multiple. It can be multiple places. So as we turn into this passage, as we're reading it, what do you think? Just think about what section or more than one is it talking about? All right. So we're in Isaiah 35. Let's read the passage and then we'll pray and continue on. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with a vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Let's pray. Jesus, this is your word. We thank you that your word speaks life. Your word speaks truth. And Jesus, this morning as we look in your word, may you stir our hearts, Lord. May you stir our hearts for what we need to hear each, and what we need to hear as a church, what you want to do in our midst, Lord. Lord, we declare that it's only you that can build this church. How we need you this day, Lord. We need you today, Lord. And we pray, Jesus, that we would be touched by your spirit and continue to be touched by your spirit as we look at your word. Speak to us, God. We need you desperately, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. So a little bit in Isaiah. Isaiah is great. Just a couple of the themes is that Yahweh is high and lifted up, the exalted king, king of the universe. All other supposed gods are, they're nothing. They're nothing compared to God. There's lots of judgment and hope. The call to trust God, the new heavens and the new earth, the role of Jerusalem, and of course, the Messiah, Jesus. So in this passage, just kind of like there's five scenes of transformation in this passage. And when you have a chance, take a look at chapter 34, because it's actually pretty rough. So it's, you know, the lead up is there's a lot of judgment in chapter 34, and then there's suddenly this change coming in this chapter. And so I don't know what stood out to you as we were reading that and you were thinking about sort of these four different places. But there is definitely some overture of some right in the Old Testament where Israel went into exile and then returned. So there's this idea of return. There's not like explicit about, you know, Jesus the Messiah in the sense of him coming, but we'll talk about that later. But there's more explicit about the end of the age when Christ returned. So one of the little things to help you with that, if you're looking at prophetic literature, is like in verse 10, everlasting joy will crown their heads, right? That's a sign there. When it says like everlasting joy, that's pointing to a head. So that's some of the themes in there. And let's just jump into the first scene. We're going to just kind of walk through each of the scenes. And at one point, a little later, Maureen is going to come down. I'm going to interrupt the sermon with Maureen sharing a story. So let's go. I'm going to read each scene again as we go through it. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. And so, of course, as we look at these literatures, he's writing to the people of the day. And so the land really is, it's pretty deserty in that area. And as I was reading on this, we're saying, there's enough for sheep, but barely. And so you would have some sheep there, but the pastures would not be vast. And he's talking then about Lebanon, that the land is going to change, something is going to change. And at that time, Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon, there was much vegetation there, including oak trees and fruit trees. And there's a transformation to the land that is coming. The word burst and bloom is actually the same word. So it's saying burst, 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 or bloom, bloom, bloom. It's coming. The transformation is coming as if extending wings for flight, flourishing, or abundance. So sometimes we think, you know, and this is true, of course, where the Lord says he'll meet our needs. He will meet our needs. But there's also the sense of abundance, that there's a sense of not just enough, but more than enough, and a place of abundance. Now, what's interesting, too, is if you read through this chapter, you'll see the word, if you may have noticed, the word will. It's actually 27 times in this passage, the word will. Will. God will do this. God will do this. I would propose to you, there's all kinds of things in here talking about healing and restoration, but one of the wills I think that maybe is the most important one, if not the most important. It says, they will see the glory of the Lord. They will see the glory of the Lord. And it's not talking about what we're doing. It's talking about what God himself will do. That God will come. God will bring transformation to the desert. I found a picture of this online, and so I was talking to Sarah. So I said, okay, we got to order it. So it will be in the side room eventually. It'll get here in a couple weeks. And looking at a transformed desert after the waters come and in bloom and the color, yeah, Carly's, yeah, right? That there's life there. Where it looks like there's no life, burst, burst, burst. Bloom, bloom, bloom. Life coming based on who God is. And then we go into the second scene, if you want to go grab. Yeah. Maureen is upstairs, so Maddie is going to grab her for me. So we're going to talk a little bit about scene two. And I want to, scene three. I'm so sorry. I'm in scene two. Sorry about that. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Again, here it is again. Your God will come. He will come with a vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. So when he's talking about vengeance and divine retribution, here we're talking about, for them, literally, they were oppressed. There's an enemy. But for us, you know, it's more we talk about the enemy of our souls. But that God will come. And it's interesting because it says, Isaiah's instructed just to say it. Say to those with fearful hearts. Say it to them. Remind them. Remind them. Be strong. And so even this day, be strong. Do not fear. Be strong. Do not fear. Why? Your God will come. Your God will come. He will come to save you. And so if today you're in a place where you're like, I need deliverance. I need something from God. I'm going through a difficult time. There's a promise here from God that he will do it. He will come to you. This is not if, it is a will, he will come. And how does that look? How does that look? In a sense, it is a guarantee that he will come, right? A guarantee that he will come based on who he is, not based on us, that he will come. And later in the passage, it says, for the redeemed, and it talks about everlasting joy. So the ultimate fulfillment of this is certainly here, right? The return of Jesus, right? There's the return of Jesus. And at that moment in time, everything that has weighed you down, whether it's emotionally, physical, all of these things, he will come. It feels far away sometimes, especially if you're young. I don't know. I thought I was going to live forever when I was like 20. I don't know. You young people, you don't think you're going to live forever? Feels like one of my friends, you see shaking his head. But it's interesting because as we get older, you kind of can sort of take a look at that finish line and it feels like, okay, there's less years ahead. I can say there's less years ahead than are behind me because I'm not, I don't think I'm going to make it to 106. But who are we appealing to? We're appealing to the promise of God and who he is. One of the commentators I read, John Golden Gay, he says, the second scene moves from fear to hope for people whose lives have collapsed and who sit head in hands, fearful, anxious, depressed, lonely, tired, despairing. They're always jumping in fear. They can see no future, no end to this. Then the same people have their burden lifted with confidence replacing fear, hope replacing despair, energy replacing fatigue. And here, as he writes, here's what makes the difference is the awareness that their God is coming. That their God is coming. And maybe that's where we need to be, or maybe you need to be, or many of us need to be, an awareness that your God is coming. He has not forgotten you. He sees what you go through. He sees the struggles. He has not forgotten you. And there needs to be an awareness, perhaps as the first place, is that our God is coming. He's coming to you. He's coming to us. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's for somebody you care about and you love, that your God can come. He can make a difference. And so here, I want to take a brief moment just to help us to slow down and be attentive of ourselves and what we're thinking. And so I'm just going to encourage you just to close your eyes for a moment. And as we're talking about this, maybe you're thinking, I've got this going on or that going on. And I just want to encourage us to be attentive for a moment about how we're feeling about that passage. So Lord, even now, I just pray that you'd help us to see what's in our own hearts, whether it's we're struggling, whether we're confident. Just reveal our hearts to us. Thank you, Lord. So maybe you have a sense, and it's maybe right now it's hard. Maybe it's hard for you right now to believe that your God is coming. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you're confident. Maybe you're feeling really confident that your God will come. Do we have an awareness that our God will come to help you? not based on us, based on who God is. And I think that sometimes that's the a beginning, a point where maybe we struggle, is that this seems so overwhelming. We need an awareness that our God will come and he will bring his healing. And I'm going to come back to this because, yes, talk about the return of Jesus, but we're going to talk about the in-between time, that there's some for the now too, right? So we're going to emphasize that in a few moments. Okay, now I'm going to go to scene three. Sorry, Matt. Now, it's hard to say a little bit if there's a progression here, like a time progression. There can be, but not necessarily, right? So the first, it talks about your God's going to come, strengthen yourself, be aware that he's coming. And then in verse 5, it says, then will the eyes be of the blind be opened. So there could be, not necessarily, but there could be. Strengthen yourself, and then God will come. Open the eyes of the blind, and the ears and the deaf will be unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Guess again, John Goldengay, he says there's a movement here, right? There's a movement. There's a movement from silence to shouting. There's a movement. Now here, I think this is important to take note. What does these two verses sound like? They're pretty familiar to us. Even if we haven't read this passage, if you've never read this passage, and or somebody read it to you without telling you where it was, you can say, oh, well, that's Jesus, right? Matthew 11:5, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. So this is like the context of like John is like, is Jesus really the Messiah? And Jesus says, go back and tell John this is what's happening, right? And so even though in this passage it's not necessarily explicit about the Messiah coming, we see the breakthrough of the kingdom when Jesus is here. We see the breakthrough of the miracles that Jesus did. And so some people, you might word it as kind of like, you know, there's different ways to word it, but you could say this is the reaching back of the fulfillment of the second coming, reaching back in time, looking here, or you can look at it as the kingdom breaking through, right? When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're asking for. We're asking for the fullness of the kingdom that is going to come to break through now, to break through in our midst, to break through in this place. Who likes stories? Yeah. All right, I'm going to tell you a story. And after the story, I'll have Maureen come up. Maureen, you can come up to the front, but I want to tell this story. So who here remembers a ministry we did? It finished 4 years ago called Ember. Yes, of course, Julia, okay. So Ember was a ministry we did roughly once a month where on a Saturday night, we'd have worship for a couple hours, and that was sort of the agenda. If people had words, we shared words, very, very kind of open. We just wanted to create a space to encounter Jesus. That was what we felt. So 4 years ago, I was at a conference with a pastor, a friend of mine, Phil, at Bethel Church at Fraser and 33rd, and we went to Alberta, and it was with Bill Johnson and Randy Clark, and. I don't necessarily agree with all of their theology, but I tell you, when I was listening to Bill speak, and he kept telling stories. I'm like, what is he doing? He just keeps going on telling stories, and it was like, and then you know something in my heart started to stir. I think he was looking at the atmosphere, and it was just there was just a hunger in my heart increasing for more of Jesus, for more of Jesus. And Randy Clark talked about, you know, seeing healing and stuff like that. And at the end of the conference, he kind of said, he did an altar call, and he said, he's so gracious. You know, he's just, God is doing a work in some of you right now, and I'd like you to respond. And so he gave some criteria, and one of them was crying. So, you know, I was crying. And so I went to the front there, and if I'm in some of those atmospheres where there's like kind of like this heightened Holy Spirit presence, you know, kind of my body might do strange things. So I was shaking, I was crying, I was yelling, I don't know what's going on. But like there was just a clarity there in that space. And God spoke to me two things. He said, do a healing service at Ember. I'm like, okay, do a healing service. Okay. So clear. I'm like, okay. So I get back, and I'm trying to think of who in the room. Carolee, you were on the team. I don't know if there's anybody else in the room on the team, but can't remember. Got together with the team, said, look, this is what I felt. What should we do? Should we do it? And was like, go for it. I'm like, okay, let's go for it. So I talked to Barry, and then he brought me up to the front of the church to announce, this is what I felt to do. And then he's like, let me pray for you. And then Andrea was in the crowd, and she's thinking, don't pray for him. Just don't pray. So he lays hands on me, and boom, I'm on the ground. And I guess there was a couple visitors there that were super uncomfortable, and they left and never came back. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, so sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit, there's some really weird stuff in the Old Testament, you know? There's some strange things that happen in the New Testament. So sometimes God, you know, just does some, it can be very quiet, but sometimes people shake and fall and all kinds of things like that. If you watch the, on the Bob Ekblad, we have the advertisement. If you go and you scroll down, watch the 20-minute documentary. Really, just what God did in his life. Pretty powerful. So anyways, okay, let's do it. We're gonna do this healing service, right? And so people come. There's people that came that I have no idea who they are, and I know they're coming to receive healing, right? And so we're worshiping there, and we're not praying for anybody. Who was at that service? I know Carolee was there. Oh, Carl, you were okay. Monica was there. Oh, Suzanne, you were there too. Okay. Tony and Judy, yeah, you were. And, you know, it's 8:30, and I haven't, like, I just haven't felt kind of the release to pray for anyone. So I know some people were getting upset. It's like, it goes 7 to 9, right? It's 8:30, and we're not praying for anybody. It's a healing service. And so So one of the young people got up and said, okay, I'm ready to pray for people. I'm like, okay, here we go. So I say, okay, let's go for it. Let's pray for people. And I remember praying for one person. I didn't know who they were, and they were upset. I said, have you received prayer? It was probably like 8:45. And they're like, no, I haven't received prayer. And they were upset. I was like, okay. So I prayed for them. Nobody got healed. Not one person got healed. And so later on, I'm thinking, God, thanks. It's like, kind of felt like God threw me under the bus, right? I'm like, hey, we're doing a healing service. We advertised it. People from not from this church came expecting healing. And some people really, really needed it. Like, I mean, it's, you know, there's some things that it's inconvenient, but there's other things that are like really significant, you know, like life-threatening if you're not healed. Now, what was interesting, what happened right after the service was very fascinating. I talked to one of the team members, and they said, I was praying for somebody, and I don't know who they were praying for, and he felt to say, you know, pray for yourself. And this person said, I believe God will heal other people, but I don't believe God will heal me. And then I talked to our worship leader, who had been, you know, in an atmosphere in Hong Kong where he'd seen significant healings, and he said, as soon as we started praying for people, I felt really, really anxious. And then there was another person, there was another story, I can't remember the detail, but it was like, okay, as I started pondering this and praying about it, it was like, I felt God saying we're struggling with unbelief. And, but it wasn't like, you know, you thou unbelieving generation, it wasn't like that. It was actually not at all like that. It was very much that God was saying, this is something you're struggling with. And then further into that is like, I felt God start saying, what if I would have shown up at 9 to start healing people? Would you have stayed? What if I would have shown up at 10 o'clock? How about 11? How about 1 in the morning? Right? And I felt God was saying, do I have to show up in your time frame? Is he subject to our time? And I think sometimes we struggle with that, right? I hate being late. Anybody else hate being late? I hate being late. If you're not early, you're late, right? Some people, that's not actually true, but for me, it feels like. So Ian's hand at the back. Ian's very punctual. But it's like there's something about waiting upon the Lord and in his timing that he will do something. And so that kind of closed that sort of time of, you know, pondering on. This was 4 years ago. And I felt like God was saying, okay, at some point we're going to need to deal with this. And I can't say it's right now, but I feel like we're approaching that time. we're approaching that time because I think we need this. We need to see this breakthrough. And so I was talking to Maureen earlier today, and I asked her if she could come up and share a story and encourage us. So come on up, Maureen. Do you need water? Do you want me to grab? No? Okay. I do.
Thank you. Yeah, so my name is Maureen. By God's grace, tomorrow I graduate from Regent College. Yeah. Yeah. I have some cool memories of the power of God, like, but one that always pops up is in 2007, I was a student, and we have gone to the northern part of Ghana for evangelism and missions and also to plant churches. And we went to this community, and the people were a bit closed in. It had not rained in their community for so long a time, and they were experiencing drought and famine. So they gave us a big challenge that we don't know what you've brought, but if only you could, yeah, you could cause rain. you could just call on rains on our community. Then we think that whatever you brought, we will be open to receiving. So we were a group of 18 people, and that night we stood and then we prayed throughout the night, crying on God, calling on him to show forth in all his might and power in that community for them to experience rain. And as we prayed, God showed forth. It was an instant thing that he did. It started raining. The rains kept pouring. And for 3 days, it was raining. Three continuous days, raining. We experienced rain in that community. And then after the third day, even before we were ready to go out, the multitude started coming in where we were. People just came to ask, what did you do that it had rained in our community for 3 days? What did you do? So they just wanted to know what exactly we carry. And the door was open to share the gospel. And we prayed for people. And God showed forth so mightily. People needed to be healed. People needed all manner of miracles. And God met them where they are at. And if there has been any time in my life that I can really recall that I have seen God's power at work, it was that time, September 2007. It was just so marvelous. And I believe that God did it. God showed forth his power so that people could believe, people could just trust him, and also to show us that he is with us. And my own faith grew. And from that time, I kept telling myself that, you know what, I'm not going to doubt you, because you can do so much. So it encouraged us. And during that time, we stayed in the community for 2 weeks. And the 2 week period that we stayed there, people really were blessed, and they experienced physical healing that I saw with my own eyes. So just to encourage us all that the season that we have come into, just trust God for anything. Trust God for anything. Because God is greater, he is mightier, he is. So for me, One of the my favorite miracle of all times is God parting the Red Sea for the Israelites to walk on dry ground. And I always remember that, and I ask myself, what can't he do? What can't God do? So in your own life, if you are trusting God for yourself or trusting God for your family, we trusting God for this church, our community, I just want to encourage your heart, people of God, that God is ready to move, that God is in our midst and he is moving. God is with us. He will show forth his might for us to see that he is God with us. And the kingdom of God, I always say that signs and wonders, miracles are part of the gospel that we preach. So that people will know how great, how mighty, how awesome our God is. So just to encourage your heart that trust your God for anything. Anything. Don't limit him for anything. And God will show up. Amen.
Thanks, Maureen. I've prayed for a long time in this city, and that's just the longing of my heart that we would see a breakthrough. That we would see a breakthrough, that God would stir our hearts. God would stir our hearts. We can't make it happen, but God is able. He keeps saying it in this passage. He will come. He will come. He's a deliverer. He can bring healing. He can bring healing. And so Jesus gave us a foretaste, right? He gave us a foretaste, but he says, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And I was thinking about this. It was actually, we were in the men's group. I think Jeffrey said that, something about taste and see the Lord is good. And it grabbed me. And I thought, we will sit at that full table when Jesus returns. We're going to be there, and it's going to be a feast, and we'll be like, we can't even fathom what that's going to be like. But now we get a foretaste. We get a foretaste of that future kingdom. And as Maureen said, it includes healing. And I think this is an area that we need to continue to contend with. I know it's hard because, you know, if some of you read the story of John Wimber, he felt God told him to pray for healing. And he prayed for 1,000 people and nobody got healed. And he persevered, and then suddenly the breakthrough came. There can be a suddenly, like in this passage. Suddenly, the desert blooms. Suddenly, as it talks about in the next scene, water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs in the haunts where jackal once lay, grass, reeds, and papyrus will grow. Like, we just heard the story. That happened. That happened just a few years ago. If God can do it in Africa, he can do it here. He can do it in our midst. And I want to encourage those of you that are from other nations, and some of you, you come and you're carrying something and you come to this nation, and maybe you came for education, maybe you came to make a home here. All of those things are true. But you've also come to encourage us, just like Maureen did. That's a part of it, that we can struggle in our Western mindset to see some of these things. And I believe that God wants to break through in that and bring that water and refreshing. How are we doing for time? We're okay. All right. I'm going to preach on just a little bit longer. In the next scene, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast, nor will there be, not will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. Right? That's important. Only the redeemed. So he's talking about God's people. And for those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. There's some of you that are in sorrow. There's some of you that are sighing. It will flee away. It will for sure flee away then, but there is There is time now for that to happen as well. And again, it's like this passage is full of life, abundant life, the image of returning home, the place that we will go, the highway of holiness. Now, it's interesting because I feel like part of, I'm believing for a move of God. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I feel like that part of it is going to be about holiness. It was interesting because earlier this week, I was praying with some people, and we were praying about this, that we need to walk holy as well. Sometimes our gospel is a little too self-centered, and it's just kind of like we attach the gospel, and I'm going to do whatever I want and have Jesus. There's something about walking in holiness and purity that God calls us to. And right after that prayer meeting, I had another meeting with somebody in the church, and they started talking to me and says, you know, we need to talk about holiness. And it's like, yeah, and I kind of laid out a little bit of where I kind of see some of us going. And so not that this message is primarily, it's not primarily about that, but I wanted to touch on that, that God has called us to walk righteously and holy, not just the self-indulgent way for ourselves, and that the path is narrow. And why is that important? Why is that important? Because we want to be like him, right? Holiness is about being like Jesus. It's walking the way Jesus calls us to walk, to be close and intimate with him. And that I'm thinking also when I was looking at the highway of holiness, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the message, being on this road together, we're journeying together on this road for this season. And that's a part of that road, is that God will call us to walk holy. God will call us and bring encounters with us, however that looks for each of us, however that looks for us together. And the road isn't free from difficulties. And the road is for those who are redeemed. So if you're here this morning and you're like, I know Jesus, but I'm not sure. I can tell you, I've been through lots of ups and downs, but following Jesus has been the best thing in my life. I've seen Jesus show up again and again in my life. And I want to encourage you. Talks about those who have returned. That is talking about Israel straying and returning. And maybe you've strayed or you know some people who have strayed. The invitation is to return. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Again, the full meal is coming. I can't wait. Like what I tell people know I like talking about heaven. Anybody know that? And like I hope I get to be kind of like maybe one of the greeters and meet some of you, because I should be there before you young people, right? All you young people here. I hope I get to be one of the greeters to welcome in. I hope, I don't know, maybe Jesus will let me do that. I'll give you a tour of heaven or something. I don't know. But it is coming. We are going there. This is a place where we're going. Well, and really heaven and earth, right? When New Jerusalem is coming down. But we are going to be with Jesus and we're going to see him face to face. And all of the pain and sorrow will fade away. But there is opportunity now. How much healing? I don't know. But more than where we are. We give thanks with gratitude of everything he has done in our lives up to this point. But we don't stay static there. We believe for more. There's a couple things. Just to remember, God will do it. Ponder on this passage this week. Pray all over it. And if there's certain points where you're struggling with, bring that to God. From desert to life, transformation, we're going home. How do we do it in the midst of the waiting, right? Because that's hard. It's easy to say, oh yeah, God's going to come. But in the middle of the waiting, it's hard. It's not easy. So what do we do? I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Don't give up. We can be tempted to give up. If I can share my story with you, I had a season, a long season, that I gave up. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Walk faithfully with what faith you have now, with what you're going through now. Walk faithfully. And also, just be honest. Like, Jesus already knows, right, what's really going on in your heart. So it's not like you can really hide it. He's not afraid of, like, I'm struggling with unbelief, or I'm struggling with this issue, or I'm struggling with that. And so as we can ask the worship team to come up. And so later as we pray, one of the prayer points is I want to encourage you that today, if you are struggling with unbelief, it's actually, it's okay. Like, God's not here with a hammer. He wants to draw us to himself. He wants us to have an awareness that he will come to you. And so I want to encourage you in that. And if, of course, anything else, but that's one of the areas. I believe that God can help us. I believe that there can be a breakthrough. But I also struggle with unbelief too. And I, like, even just before Caroline and I were praying, I was like, Lord, I'm like a bit like Thomas. I struggle with unbelief. I haven't seen something as magnanimous as what Maureen just shared. But I know, I've read enough stories. I've read the stories. I've heard stories from others. And so I need help with that, with unbelief. And so I encourage you, if that's where you're at, to take that step and say, God, help us. God, help us that our God will come.